Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the New York Times investigation into tax-exempt 501c4s designated for social welfare by the IRS that are being used by some of America's biggest corporations to shield voters and shareholders from knowing about the corporation's donations to political campaigns and candidates. Bruce Kane, a professor of political science at Stanford University, who was up until recently the executive director of the University of California's Washington Center, joins us. Then we'll look into the massive power failures in the East, with citizens sweltering in the dark for over a week without electricity to cool them and refrigerate food. A leading authority on the production, management, and delivery of energy to large populations, David Freeman, the former head of the TVA, New York Power, and LA's DWP, joins us to discuss the growing vulnerability of the grid to increasingly destructive weather from climate change and what can be done to prevent future failures. Then finally, we will discuss the separation of church and state and the extent to which religious groups have it both ways, enjoying tax-exempt status while demanding access to the public square and a greater voice in politics, while at the same time insisting their theological doctrines are kept secret and off-limits from inquiry by the press. Stephen Pizzo, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative journalist, joins us. He has an article at The Smirking Chimp, Cultist, Crazy, or Both? Joining us now is Bruce Kane, a professor of political science at Stanford University, who was up until recently the executive director of the University of California's Washington Center. He has written extensively on elections, legislative representation, redistricting, and political regulation in the fields of and his fields of interest include American politics, democratic theory, and state and local government. Additionally, he serves on the editorial boards of Election Law Journal and American Politics Research. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bruce Kane.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. And there's an interesting article on front page, lead article in Sunday's New York Times that begins by talking about how American Electric Power, one of the country's largest utilities, have given $1 million to the founding fund, which was set up by a former lobbyist for the Koch brothers, Frank Sadler. It's interesting and ironic, I guess, that America's largest leading power company should be secretly funding money to Republican candidates, and I assume Mitt Romney, at a time when you're in Washington, D.C. You've had a pretty bad week, right?
That's right. We were out with we had no electricity for a week, so yes.
So this vehicle, this 501c4 vehicle that was set up by the IRS for social welfare purposes, seems as though, according to the New York Times revelation, and they've had to dig in because by nature these donations are secret. That is what the IRS provides, and it's not something that super PACs provide. They have to file with the FEC. Appear to be becoming the preferred vehicle of corporate America. Would that be your suspicion too?
Yes, and it's not surprising. I mean, there were two paths that they could follow. One is the so-called super PAC path, where they would have to disclose their donations to the Federal Election Commission, and it would be immediately known by everybody and the press. The other path is the 501c4 or nonprofit path. The 501c4s have been around for a long time. That's an IRS designation. And the social welfare organizations are not supposed to have politics as their primary purpose. But the definition of what a primary purpose is and what fraction can be spent on politics has never been very well spelled out. So it's not terribly surprising that people would use the 501 or corporations would use the 501c4 route, because, as you pointed out in your remarks, it gives them greater anonymity. They're able to give the money to the 501c4. It doesn't have to be disclosed to the FEC. And basically what the Times had to do and what everybody's going to have to do to find out about this is you're going to have to go through the regulatory filings and the tax returns, which takes a lot of time and effort. So it's basically a way of not disclosing to the public your corporate contributions to political causes.
Well, I recall in the 2010 cycle that the Target Corporation gave money to a homophobic candidate, and there was a considerable backlash to Target, and that would indicate to me that corporations probably are very nervous about giving money to their favorite candidates because half of their customers are Democrats and half of their customers are Republicans.
Yes, so well said. I mean, first of all, they, as you say, they're fearful of alienating their customers. But the second reason is one that we know from California, which is in a lot of ballot measures, if it's known that the insurance companies or the utility companies are behind a given measure, it's almost certainly going to cost them some votes because people immediately make the assumption, usually right, that there's some economic interest that the insurance company or the utility company has, and it's probably not serving that of the customer. At least that's the assumption people make. So there are a lot of reasons why they would prefer not to have that information out there in, you know, in, for the public view. And what we've seen with the super PACs, where you have to disclose the money, is that the primary people using the super PAC route are either the very wealthy millionaire types like Sheldon Adelson or the Kochs, or you know, it's basically small family-owned businesses don't worry about their large shareholder base. So it's not surprising. I think we were all expecting that corporations, if they were going to make use of either of these routes, they would go the 501c4 route. What the New York Times article does is it really sort of fleshes out who's doing this and to which groups.
Well, the super PACs, of course, are the ones that are getting all of the attention in the press until, I think, this New York Times article. One of the great ironies here, I did a piece recently with a business reporter from the Boston Globe who'd looked into the Bain Capitals and how Mitt Romney made his biggest killing early, and it apparently was financed by Michael Milken out here in California, who was himself at the time under investigation by the SEC and subsequently went to jail. And it's fascinating to find that Michael Milken was the financier for the four largest Republican super PAC donors, as well as for Romney himself. Sheldon Adelson, Harold Simmons, Ken Griffith, who was also a former employee of Drexel Burnham Lambert, the Milken's company, and David Koch, who's currently the chairman of the board of Milken's Foundation. So they, I don't think they care too much, do they, about public sentiment? Although you'd think in the case of the Kochs, they might be a little leery of whether people are going to boycott Dixie cups and brawny towels.
No, I think they care. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going to the 501c4s. I mean, they obviously care about whether this is widely known because it does have consequences for them. But the point is that this election, as compared to 2008, we're seeing a greater, if you like, sort of unity among corporate interests. Obama in 2008 was able to peel off the Wall Street money. He was able to get money from the Silicon Valley. He was able to get money from Hollywood. This time around, he's going to keep his Hollywood money. He's going to get some money out of the Silicon Valley, but basically Wall Street has flipped over to the Republicans, which unites basically the corporate America against Obama. They believe that Obama is, you know, anti-capitalism and that there's very important economic interests of theirs at stake in this election. So, yes, they don't want the publicity that comes with being discovered, but this election really matters a lot to them. We're looking at potential tax increases in the next couple of years. We're looking at very hard decisions about where to make cuts. These things matter to corporations. And so $20 million, $5 million here is nothing compared to the, you know, the billions of dollars potentially in lost profit if the regulatory policies of the Democratic Party go into place.
Again, I'm speaking with Bruce Kane, who's a professor of political science at Stanford University and was up until recently the executive director of the University of California Washington Center. And he also serves on the editorial boards of Election Law Journal and American Politics Research. And we're talking about the New York Times article in Sunday's New York Times revealing the extent to which U.S. corporations are using 501c4 tax-exempt vehicles designated by the IRS for social welfare purposes to shield their donations to political candidates, largely Republicans, in this current election. It would seem, though, Bruce Kane, that Obama is at a disadvantage here in terms of the billionaires that are giving money both openly through super PACs like Sheldon Adelson and covertly through these 501c4s. For example, on the other side of the ledger, if you will, for philanthropy on the left, you have George Soros. And if George Soros gives you money, he's not going to get anything out of it. I mean, as far as I know, he doesn't. He seems to be able to make money without political influence through the markets. So isn't there a difference, a fundamental disadvantage that Obama has, that that philanthropists on the left can only give their money for altruistic reasons? They're not necessarily going to get anything out of it. But the Koch brothers have a direct interest in giving money to and stop regulation. And as you mentioned, Wall Street now figures that they've got to back the Republicans because Obama may pass laws in his second term that will impact their bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's broadly true when you're talking about, you know, potential tax policies and regulatory policies. But, you know, let's not everybody on the left is altruistic. I mean, there are obviously the trade unions have economic interests at stake. Hollywood clearly, you know, if you had it in the hands of the social right, would crack down on. The artistic freedom in Hollywood. So, I mean, I don't know that it's completely about altruism versus self-interest. I think on both sides, you find people on the right that are ideological. I mean, they're not doing it because they're going to get any more money. They just believe in their ideology. So it's kind of hard to make an easy characterization that way. But I think in general, on this particular election, with the defection of Wall Street, I think Wall Street believed that Obama was going to protect the banks. He was going to protect their carried interest, you know, this tax break they get on managing funds. And when that didn't, you know, even though he did save the banks, they still are angry at him for having turned on them in his more populist rhetoric in the last couple of years and on the compensation issues. So I think you're right in the sense that this election has more starkly put the economic interests of the 1% of the corporate interests against the Democratic Party, whereas I think the last election, it wasn't quite so stark.
Well, but the last election, someone, a Republican operative like Fred Barnes has revealed, and quite publicly, that he believes, and others in the Republican, amongst Republican activists and pundits believe, that the 2000 midterm election victories for the Republicans were the direct result of super PACs and 501c4s. And,
oh, no, fair enough. I misspoke. I meant the 2008 election,
sure,
the 2010.
I'm right.
Talking about the last presidential election. I think you're right. By 2010, I think that the consolidation of sort of, if you like, the 1% corporate elite had already started. It was very clear that Obama was not going to make them happy with his policies, even though, as I said, he did save the banks after all. He did bail out all but, you know, a couple of these companies. But having said that, it was very clear, as you said, starting from 2010, that it was the interest of the business community was to get rid of Barack Obama, and that's the way it stands right now.
And indeed, in the 2010 midterm elections, tax-exempt groups outspent super PACs by a 3-2 margin, and the IRS still hasn't decided, going back to 2010, on Karl Rove's how kosher he is in terms of Crossroad GPS's application for tax-exempt status, which is still pending.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's not an easy thing. It's a highly politicized decision. So you know, an agency like the IRS would be wading into a hornet's nest to try to make its own rule. The real problem you have is that Congress is stymied, that the Republicans basically do not want stronger transparency laws, or at least not the ones that are being proposed by the Democrats. And so the fact that, that there's no real consensus in Congress is what's really holding up changes in transparency. I mean, frankly, the whole structure is pretty weak and full of holes. I mean, the distinction between so-called direct advocacy and electioneering, that's a mushy distinction. I mean, how do you, in the middle of an election, if you're criticizing Barack Obama's health care plan, are you criticizing Barack Obama? You know, and the answer is yes, you are. And that's why when McCain-Feingold was passed, they really sort of said, hey, electioneering that has any kind of mention of the candidate of, or, you know, is clearly indicative of election issues, within a certain period of time, that should be considered an election, that should be considered advocacy. But what happened was, in a decision called Wisconsin Right to Life, the current Supreme Court loosened the definition once again so that electioneering activities can look a lot more like the normal election advocacy. So that decision turned out, in retrospect, to be far more important than the Citizen United or even Speech Now versus FEC, which are the ones you read about in the papers over and over.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the Wisconsin Right to Life decision, the lower court decision, which is really governing the enormous amount of or enabling, I should say, the enormous amount of money that's pouring into this election from the 1%, if you will, that gets very little publicity. Everybody keeps railing against Citizens United, not to suggest that there's anything wrong with it. But on the other hand, it's odd that so much, so little attention is paid to the Wisconsin Right to Life decision.
Yeah, I think there will be more attention because eventually the press coverage will catch up to the reality of the situation. But I think Citizen United offended particularly a lot of Democrats and liberals because it took the corporation's rights so seriously and treated them like individual rights. So as much as anything, it was the kind of symbolism behind Citizen United as opposed to its political impact that was driving the you know, obsession with Citizen United. But I think as we're seeing it play out, we're realizing that a decision that wasn't even a Supreme Court decision, Speech Now versus FEC, and Wisconsin Right to Life are much more important in terms of dictating the environment that we see right now.
Well, just in closing then, Bruce Cain, the New York Times, as I say, this investigative piece that they've done, it's not easy because corporations are able to shield. That's the whole point of these 501c4 vehicles, is that they don't have to disclose, as opposed to the super PACs, where they have to file with the FEC. We mentioned American Electric Power being one run by one of the Koch brothers' former employees, Prudential, Dow Chemicals, Chevron, MetLife, Merck. They've discovered that they've been funding money largely through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which, of course, is a tax-exempt trade group, so-called business fund. Interesting enough, it looks like the New York Times discovered that Aetna had written a check to American Action Network along with $4.5 million contribution to the chamber. And apparently the check by Aetna Insurance was accidentally disclosed in a filing to insurance regulators. So how is the press going to pry this information loose if clearly corporations don't want the public to know who they're backing politically?
Well, it's going to be hard to do it in a timely fashion, but there's no question that what the New York Times did is what the press has to do, which is go through the regulatory filings, go through the tax returns, go through the corporate governance reports, and try to do this with a lot of difficult work. This is what we had to do before we had electronic filing. It was a much more detective type of process, and that's what it's going to take. That plus agitation on the part of shareholders wanting to know how the money's being spent and for what purpose. Down the road, maybe there'll be regulation if people get sufficiently upset about it. But in the short run, I don't see the Congress doing anything. I don't see the IRS wading into a hornet's nest at this point. I think it's going to have to be the independent press, and it's going to have to be shareholders that take action that will reveal some of this information, at least in the next election cycle.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Bruce Cain.
Glad to be here.
Again, I've been speaking with Bruce Cain. He's a professor of political science at Stanford University, and up until recently was executive director of the University of California's Washington Center. He's written extensively on elections, legislative representation, redistricting, and political regulation, and his field of interest includes American politics, democratic theory, and state and local governments. Additionally, he serves on the editorial boards of Election Law Journal and American Politics Research. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how Mother Nature is doing more damage than terrorists could do to America's grid.